Hi, Year 4. This is the next part of Chapter 9, Stick of the Dump. Probably saying what a nice coat it would make for him, said Barney. But Lou just said, "Oh, Barney, don't," and pulled Dinah to her side. They sat at the side of the royal party and waited. And they had a strange feeling that everyone else was waiting too, waiting for something special. The tribesmen were just sitting around talking in low voices, and sometimes everyone stopped talking altogether and just listened, and the chief seemed to have his eyes fixed on the mists at the bottom of the valley. A man came from the back of the crowd, carrying two bull's horns, which he offered to Barney and Lou. "What are we supposed to do with these?" Barney asked Lou. "Blow them?" Lou took one. "Careful, Barney," she said. "There's something in them." Barney took his. It was full of some liquid. They looked at the chief and the old men and saw they were holding horns too. Then the chief lifted his to his mouth, drank what was in it at one swig, and threw the horn over his shoulder. "It's to drink," said Barney, and they both realised they were thirsty, and both took a deep swallow from the horns. Then they both made the same face. "Ugh," Lou spluttered. "Beer." Barney just threw his full horn over his shoulder. A rather fat, sleepy tribesman sitting behind him got most of the beer in his face. He seemed surprised, but didn't mind very much as he licked the drops running down his nose. Lou got rid of hers much more carefully. Now the food was coming round. Men were standing near the fires, taking the meat off the spits and cutting it up, and others came running with smoking joints, which they handed first to the chief, and then to the other important men and to the children. The smell had been delicious, but when they looked at the stringy blackened meat on the bones they had been handed, they didn't feel so hungry. "Do you think it'd be bad manners if we don't eat it?" Lou said doubtfully. "Perhaps they don't have manners," said Barney. "It can't be good manners to throw your cup over your shoulder." "The chief did it, so it must be," said Lou. "You can't tell with manners." They looked at the chief again. He had gnawed the meat off his bone in no time, and now he flung it backwards to the rear of the crowd, where it was seized by one of the pack of wildish dogs that were waiting around. "Oh, well, that's easy," said Lou. "Here you are, Dinah. Nice bone, with meat on." Barney also handed his piece to the dog, and Dinah gnawed away happily, like the rest of the tribe. At last the chomping jaws on all sides died away, fingers wiped on the grass or in the air, and the tribe settled down again with the air of waiting for something. Barney, who was lying back on the soft turf, heard it first. "What's that?" he exclaimed, sitting up suddenly. "What's what?" Lou asked. "Something in the ground," said Barney. Now that he was sitting up, he couldn't hear it. He lay down again and put his ear to the ground. The sound came again, a sort of thumping. He made Lou put her head to the ground, and for a time they heard nothing, and then the thump came again. By now there was a shushing among the tribe, and some of them seemed to be hearing something too. Everyone became silent. And after a time, the sound could be heard through the air, as well as being a shake in the hillside. There was a long time between thumps. Barney counted up to 20 quite slowly, but they kept coming, and they seemed to be coming closer. It could have been footsteps of some great giant or monster plodding unhurriedly towards them out of the marshy valley. Barney looked at Lou, and he could see she was thinking the same thing. "What can it be, Lou?" he whispered. "I don't know. Could be anything. Could it be one of those brontosauruses?" But Lou hushed for silence, and then Barney too caught another sound that went with the thumps of the footsteps. Before each thump there was a sort of long-drawn wail, so that it sounded like "Eeyoo-thump! Eeyoo-thump!" And each time the whole chalky hill shook, until they could feel it in their bones sitting on the springy turf. Everyone had heard it now, even the chief and the old men, who Barney supposed might be a little deaf. The circle of tribesmen around the fire was breaking up, and everyone was moving towards the edge of the steep slope that plunged down to the valley. "Come on," said Barney. "We've got to go and see what it is." They got up and ran with the others. At the bottom of the valley, the forest stretched away to the distant hills under the moonlight, and blankets of low mist lay with the trees poking their heads through them. They strained their eyes to see through the mist where the sounds seemed to be coming from. Then Lou gasped and clutched Barney's arm and pointed. "Look," she breathed. "There it is." Barney saw it almost at the same moment, though he still didn't know what it was he saw. Out of the mist at the base of the hill, there heaved itself every now and then a dark shape that stood up for a moment, and then each time fell forward in their direction. And every time it appeared, there came this wail, followed by the earth-shaking thump. And now there seemed to be an extra sound attached to it. Between the wail and the thump, like this,
"Ew-a-thump, ew-a-thump, ew-a-thump."
And the sound seemed to be not a loud voice, but many voices. And then Barney could see the dark shape had sort of strings or feelers joined to it. Dinah, standing between them, had seen it now, and the hair was standing up on her neck and back, and Barney felt that his was too. Still watching, fascinated, Lou said, "Barney, we aren't dreaming all of this, of course. I'm going to pinch myself and then I'll wake up." "Don't you dare wake up and leave me here," said Barney. "Well, pinch yourself at the same time," said Lou. They pinched themselves. Nothing happened. "Are you awake?" Barney asked. "No," replied Lou. "I know what," said Barney. "I'll pinch you." He pinched Lou and she squealed. "You don't have to do it so hard," she said. "Perhaps it's your dream and not mine. My turn to pinch you." She pinched him. "You beast, Lou, that hurt," said Barney. "Look, we can't both be dreaming the same dream, so we must be both awake. I wish we weren't." He took his eyes off the thing and turned to someone standing next to him. It was Stig. "Stig, thank goodness you're here," gasped Barney. "What is it and what's going to happen?" Stig just looked at him in his usual, not understanding way, but he grinned, and he really seemed quite cheerful and not at all worried. "Lou, here's Stig," said Barney. "He seems to think it's all right." "Does he?" said Lou, looking around. "Well, perhaps it's a tame thing, or a usual thing, anyhow." They felt better with Stig standing so cheerfully beside them. But Dinah suddenly decided that it was a thing she didn't like at all. Turned tail, jerked the string from Lou's hand and bolted with Lou after her, shouting, "Dinah, Dinah, come back! Nice thing, Dinah! Dinah, come here!" And at the same time, Stig made a come on wave to Barney and some of the other men and started down the steep slope. Barney found himself running with him, panting. "I'm coming, Stig. Wait for me. Stig, Stig, wait. You haven't got your spear, Stig." For he only just noticed that neither Stig nor the other men had brought their weapons with them. But now that he had started running down the hillside, he knew he couldn't possibly stop. And he would be upon the thing before he had time to wonder any more what it was. This mist was the sort that wasn't there when you got to it, but it spread. The moonlight around like daylight, and Barney was still running down the last bit of the hill when he could see quite plainly what it all was. The dark shape of strings, the wail and the grunt, the thump. On the track leading along the base of the hill was a crowd of tribesmen. They were divided into two groups. Those nearer to him were pulling on ropes. Those further away were working long poles. And the thing they were manhandling was a great rough slab of dark rock, at least twice as high as the tallest man. And this was the way they were heaving it along. The slab of rock was lying flat on the ground. 12 men with pointed stakes pushed them under the edge of the rock and levered it about a foot off the ground. A much larger group of men pushed much longer poles under the rock as far as they would go and lifted it still higher by pushing upwards on the poles. To the top end of the poles, long ropes of twisted hide had been tied, which passed over the top of the rock to the men in front. When the rock was high enough, the men in front pulled all together on the ropes. The rock rose until it was standing upright, seemed to stop there for a second, and then it fell forward with a mighty thump that they had all heard on top of the hill. And the voice of the monster was the heave-ho of the men as they heaved together on the levers and the ropes and grunted together at the difficult point when the rock was halfway to standing up. Barney was almost disappointed at the disappearance of a monster, but there was no time to stand around. The job was now to get the rock up the hill, and with all the new helpers from the camp were needed. Without a pause in the slow footsteps of the rock, they joined in the work. Or rather, it was like joining in a game or a dance. Barney grabbed the end of a rope behind Stig and watched what he did. They faced the stone and had to walk towards it while the men on the other side lifted the poles back to fit them again under the rock. Then they had to take up the slack, but not pull until the rock was lifted to the halfway mark. Then, all together with the men on the two ropes, they had to take the strain, heave on the rope until the rock was standing upright, and then heave no more, because it was no use pulling the rock over towards them. It could fall by itself. Barney soon found it tiring and wondered how long they could keep going like that. He started to say, well, wouldn't it be better if... But as soon as he started talking, Stig trod on his toe, and then the rope was jerked through his hand as they lifted the poles back for the next heave. He noticed then that nobody was making suggestions. Nobody was arguing. Nobody was even giving orders. They just sang their wailing song. Ew! Pulled together. Walked up a few steps together. Rested together while the pole pushers worked. And Barney began to see that they could keep this up for hundreds of miles. And they probably had, because he couldn't think of where they could find slabs of rock like this anywhere near. Of course, they couldn't go straight up the hill. It was too steep. But there was a grassy track slanting along the hillside, and up it they slowly humped the great rock. They were getting near the camp now, and the women and children ran out to meet them and shout encouragement. Barney heard a voice he recognised and turned his head and saw Lou among them, holding an excited Dinah. "What are you going to do with it, Barney?" she was saying. "I can't help because I can't leave Dinah." But as soon as he paid attention to what Lou was saying, he got trodden on and jerked again, so he gave up trying to hear what she was shouting. He thought he heard her say, "Wouldn't it be better if you had wheels?" But there didn't seem to be much he could do about it. And we're going to stop there.